You're listening to littlepodcast.com.
This week on the Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast, a brief history of shooters, Splatoon has Vink reconsidering the genre, I dive into my shooter pile of shame, and try my best to convince Vink to play Mass Effect. It's a Vink rethink. Get it? The Famicom Dojo Video Game Podcast is sponsored by littlepodcast.com and listeners like you. To sponsor an episode, go to littlepodcast.com, pick Famicom Dojo from the drop-down, pay with a credit card or PayPal, and shoot us an email over to podcast@famicomdojo.tv to let us know what we should say about your generous contribution. Yes, we were born to play all this video games. Hey, Vink.
Hey, Sean.
How's it going?
Great, great. Really awesome gaming today. Yep.
Cool. Well, I think people don't like these preambles that we do sometimes. So let's just, like, get right into our main topic for the week.
You're right. You're right. People don't like the preamble. So let's get right into our future retro.
I actually don't know if that's true.
Retro.
We're just going to drop the whole podcast then.
Future retro, because that's the meat and potatoes of these podcasts, I think. The future retro. No one wants to hear us talk. They just want to hear about a game.
Sure.
Okay. Splatoon.
Didn't we do this already? I feel like we did this already.
I mean, I mentioned Splatoon. I think every podcast since I got Splatoon. But yes, Splatoon. But I own it now. And you know what? I'm actually not terrible at it.
Oh, yeah,
I know. I'm very bad at video games in general. But I'm doing well on this one. And it's a new game. Listen to that. It's not even a retro game.
Right.
It's a new game.
It's not just a new game. It's a new IP.
It's a totally new IP. And it's really, really cool. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, it does seem to be a throwback to a little bit of that whole late 90s, early 2000s Dreamcast aesthetic. But I always liked that. So it's great. It's so good.
It's so good. I wasn't able to do any of the test fires, but I hear wonderful things about the gameplay and the mechanics and the music.
Yes.
All promising.
It's so good that it's made me rethink a lot of stuff.
You're not going to get a divorce, are you?
No. Well, I don't know. If I keep playing it to the extent I'm playing now, then perhaps. But
oh dear. You should play Dojo Mode with your wife. That's a thing I hear.
I played it once or twice and wasn't a big fan. But that's never been like it would be really good for just walking around the stages though and getting to know some of the areas and practicing some techniques. I think that's a really good thing you can do with it. But the real joy of what is wrong with me? The real joy of this game is online.
Who are you? What have you done with Vink?
I know, right? I've spent how long have we been doing the Famicom Dojo podcast now?
We have started our fifth year.
We've started our fifth year, and for almost all of those, I think I had continually gone on about how online multiplayer games were not for me,
right?
And that I hadn't played an online game really since Phantasy Star Online on the Dreamcast, and even then, my experience of it was mixed. But, yeah, I've mostly been playing this game online, even though there is a single-player campaign, which is fun, but really awesome boss battles, like super awesome boss battles. And shooters don't usually have very good boss battles.
What?
Shooters.
Does not compute.
Well, okay. I'll have a confession. I play very few shooters.
So how would you even know, honestly?
How would I even know? because I read about a lot of other people who really like the boss battles and go, you know, shooters don't usually have very intense boss battles.
Man, you need to play Mass Effect 3.
Is it a shooter? Would you call it a shooter? Because when you were selling it to me, you sold it to me as an RPG.
Well, it's that too, but I mean, you know, the main...
it's
the main...
whatever you want it to be to meet your goals.
The main action portion
it's
of this
is... It's a visual novel.
Over-the-shoulder third-person shooter.
Okay. Okay. All right. Then maybe that one does. But
oh my
regardless.
Gosh.
But that brings up the other thing. I don't play shooters. I don't. As a general rule, I don't like first-person shooters. I don't like third-person shooters. The only shooter I really like are, like, you know, shoot-em-ups. You know, top-down, I'm a spaceship, bang-bang, pew-pew shooters.
Do I need to sell you on shooters now? Is that what we're doing here? Are you prepared now to expand your horizons?
All right. I am prepared to acknowledge that just because a game is a shooter doesn't mean it's terrible.
All right. This is a great start. How about Portal?
I have Portal. I should play Portal.
Portal isn't technically a shooter. I mean, it's based on a shooter, and you still shoot some things, but it's not a weapon so much as, you know, a plot device. But...
Okay. Now, people have said very good things to me about Portal, but in my mind, yeah, I consider Portal more of an adventure game with a shooting mechanic.
Sure, that works.
Okay.
That'll ease you into the full-on shooter territory.
Oh, I don't... Wow, even with how much I'm enjoying Splatoon, I'm still very hesitant. Well, hold on. Okay, can I ramble off my list of the ways Splatoon has also, like, changed a lot of my opinions?
Okay.
And then we'll get into why shooters are great, which won't change my opinion. Okay.
Okay.
So I got a game, even though how on several podcasts I went, I hate that games are being released incomplete.
Right.
Because it ruins for archival purposes and things like that. And
sure.
And games should never have DLC. They should wait till they're done and then release them, like Nintendo does.
Uh-huh.
All right. Splatoon has only 5 stages, and a lot of the modes aren't going to be implemented until August. Now, the DLC is free, so I have less of a problem with it.
Sure.
But that means that once the servers are down, the game will forever be locked in at like 5 stages.
Sure.
And won't work anyway. So,
right.
I mean, I suppose the only thing that would work would be the single player campaign. And I knew that going into it. And this is a game I bought day one, which is another thing I almost never do. Occasionally I'll do a day one game, but usually not. I bought it day one and I bought it digitally.
Ugh.
for full price.
Good Lord, man.
I spent $60 on a digital game and I very nearly pre-ordered it too, which is another thing I never did.
What?
It's because I'm starting to what's that phrase? Get over myself.
Oh my.
Because part of me is still looking forward to the retro VGS, the cartridge-based system.
Right.
But the other half of my is going, you know what? Splatoon is really, really fun. And once they shut the servers off, the physical disc is going to have almost no value anyway.
Right.
If I order it from America, I have to wait a long time. Or I could play it right now. And I opted for playing it right now.
Man.
Oh, and I bought I bought Amiibos for it. I mean,
good Lord.
I'm everything that's wrong with the game industry. So how much were my values worth? Bunch of squid, you know?
You know, there's supposed to be rabbits originally, or at least previously in the previous iteration.
I think originally it was supposed to be like Mario, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the things that kicked around too.
Yeah. I'm glad it's not. I'm glad it's not. It's really cool. It's really cool as it is. You should play it. You really should.
Oh, God, you know what my problem is? Not that I hate shooters. Just that, like, you know, I bought Mario Kart and barely played it, and I have two versions of Smash Brothers. I barely play it. In fact, you know, I got the one with the controller and the adapter, the GameCube adapter. That I just, it's a lot of money to not be playing those games.
Oh, and definitely. And those games are really good, but they both suffer from the same glaring fault.
They're not Splatoon.
That's it. We've been doing this cast too long.
Yes.
That you're able to end those for me. But no, I also have both Smash and Mario Kart. Now, Mario Kart, I almost never played online except with friends. I found no joy in playing with random people.
Okay.
And Smash Brothers, I never played online at all. I don't have any. I don't have any desire. But Splatoon is so. It's so. Well, frankly, the game doesn't allow you to do much if you don't play online.
Sure.
And at first that kind of annoyed me because it was like, so you want to go shopping? You want to upgrade your gear? You've got to be at level 4. Oh, how do I get to level 4? You've got to play with random people. And I'm like, oh, they're scary. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of glad there's... I know that one of the biggest faults for this game was like, there's no voice chat. But to tell you the truth, if I'm playing just with random people, I'm kind of shy, and since my daughter likes to watch this game being played, I am a female avatar, and I don't even want to know what I'm going to go through, which is the reason I stopped playing Phantasy Star Online. Actually, because of the harassment I got when I played as a female avatar. I still think Nintendo should. Nintendo, if you're listening, I'm not giving you a buy here. I still think you should add voice chat for the people who want it, but I wouldn't use it.
Well, you convinced me.
No, the options are good. Having not having options is not good. But for me, I like how it's played right now. I can see, you know, I have a group of people in, and you know, I'm very rarely it's team based, it's squad, it's Splatoon based, four on four. And, you know, I lose my team loses as many times as it wins. But what I've noticed is I'm almost never the worst player on my team. Very rarely. And sometimes I'm the best player on my team. And this doesn't happen. I think one of the reasons I never played shooters before is I'm so incredibly terrible at them. I'm not sure what it is about Splatoon exactly, but the controls click for me. I think it's that it's a three-stick shooter.
What?
Is a three-stick shooter.
Doesn't make any sense. What are you talking about?
Try analog.
Okay.
Okay. Normally, you know dual-stick shooters, of course. You've used them.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's to move, one of them's to look.
Okay.
Or aim, I guess, right?
Right.
Okay. This one is the third, is the three one. Left stick does your movement. Right stick turns you around, controls the camera, I guess, and your gyroscope is look. So you have so much control, actually.
Huh.
I think you can turn it off. Like, I think you can play with the pro controller and not use it. I guess. I don't know. I haven't.
Yeah, but I've seen those photos of people like rubber banding a Wii remote to the pro controller.
Yeah. But it works. It works really, really well. And I like it. I like it, and it's so many things all together that I normally don't like. Online games, a lot of the necessity to be connected, and it's a shooter. So
welcome to 15 years ago, Vink.
Hey. 15 years ago was when? Hold on. I gotta go back here. 2000?
Yeah.
Okay. Give me 20 years back, and I played shooters.
Well, what's...
I played Wolfenstein.
Well, see, that's where I wanted to go with this. Was like, you know, some of the first shooters were id shooters. You got that.
Yep.
You got Doom, which probably gave birth to the whole like bald space marine thing.
Yep, I played Doom. I was terrible at it, but I played it because I mainly played it because I thought it was phenomenal what they were doing with graphics. I thought that was very interesting. But as a game, I got lost all the time. I think that was the biggest thing, is I find shooters disorienting. And I think that's why Splatoon's working for me, because it's on the bottom screen. It's got a map the whole time, so I always know where I am.
Nice.
So, you know, when I'm playing, I know where I got to go, and I know what I, you know. And you can jump to different parts of the map, too, if you ever get stuck.
Well, I mean, back when you were playing games like Doom, were you also playing GoldenEye or maybe even Perfect Dark?
I had GoldenEye. I never bought Perfect Dark. I had GoldenEye, and my brother was a huge fan of it. Really, really liked it. I think I ran into the same problem. I had a very hard time making any progress in the game. I didn't know how to use the tactics right, I guess, and I didn't get very far in it. I played multiplayer with some people, but you know, I almost always lost, and I played it enough that I should have been getting better, you know, but I never really did. I would just basically be walking down identical looking corridors, and I wouldn't know where I was until I saw that someone had shot me. I think that's always been my big problem. And of course, the other problem was that the storylines and things like that, which I do play games for stories for a lot of the time, never really interested me.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, so how about you? What's your history with shooters? We don't talk about shooters very much because I know whenever you bring them up, I'm like,
What are you talking about? Well, I mean, yeah, like... you know, Wolfenstein was probably my first one, and this is definitely before I even knew what id Software was. But Doom, oh man, I mean the whole shareware thing, and like Doom was like the it place, just so good. And like as I realized later, though, is not, even though that there's like you know, an up and down, because like Wolfenstein, you play. You just go left or right. There's no vertical movement in that game at all.
No, not at all. In fact, it feels weird now because it's so smooth. Like there's not even the bounce as you walk. It's just totally on a plane.
It's like a window screensaver.
It's a Nazi hoverboard simulator.
Right. But between that and like the aesthetic of the weird like half mutant cyborg, the Nazis, like, you know, Doom makes a lot of sense as an original property, but that adds that third dimension a little bit,
because there were stairs and stuff, right?
Yeah, stairs and elevators platform, and whatnot. Yeah. But because you can't aim vertically, like basically as long as you were, you know, in the line of the thing you're trying to shoot, then your ammo will go towards whatever enemy was there. And like Metroid Prime does that, for instance. After a fashion. Okay. Because there's an auto lock, essentially. You can shoot things freeform, but if you're just like kind of roaming around the world, as long as you're in that line horizontally, because that's use your one stick to both move and turn.
Yeah.
Then that's, you know, you like Metroid Prime, right? That's a shooter. That's like a first person shooter, even.
Shall we move ahead to my pile of shame?
Oh no. Yeah, let's wait for that.
Metroid Prime Trilogy.
Oh my goodness. You've played the first one at least, right?
I've owned the first one.
Oh good lord, man.
I've owned it 3 times. On the GameCube, on the new Play Control version for Wii, the Japanese version, and now the download of the trilogy. Now, I know it to be a good game because everyone has told me that it's a good game, but the actual amount of time I played, I think I wandered around outside of the ship, scanned a bunch of stuff, got shot by something and turned it off.
Okay.
That was 14 years ago.
Oh, boy. See, I wasn't far off.
Yeah, you're right.
No, like, after Doom, you know what came after Doom for me?
What came after Doom?
Duke Nukem 3D.
Hey, I had that one. But, like, I didn't play it. I mean, I played it a little bit, but I enjoyed watching my friend play that game.
I don't think I had anything except for that shareware version or whatever that first level was, because I played that one to death.
Yeah.
Loved the jetpack, you know, and, of course, there were strippers in it, which, you know, I have since learned is apparently not okay for me to play.
Thanks, there was a jetpack? There was a jetpack?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know there was a jetpack.
Oh, you kidding me?
Thanks, feminism.
Oh, good lord.
They're trying to take our jetpacks.
Don't start that. Okay, well, they're going to believe it and run with it.
Sorry.
There's going to be a proof online later with 20 links that don't mean quite what they think it means. All right. Listen, no, but
I had no idea there was a jetpack.
It's a jetpack. It's in the first freaking level. I mean, it's kind of a secret. You have to get to it, but...
Okay, your ship comes, and then there's this explosion, and he's like, Bruce Campbell quote. And then you go around, and I know you can go to the movie theater, and you can turn on the movie, and it's a naughty movie.
Oh, no.
And then you shoot a bunch of aliens. And then I died. And that's about it. I mean, that's...
Oh, God.
But the thing is, I watched my friend play into the later levels of the game, and I don't remember a jetpack at all.
Dude, there's a jetpack.
I played the original Duke Nukem.
That's not the same thing.
It's super fun, though.
I made a game
back when I was programming.
Yeah.
It was called Nuke Dukem 1D.
was it a line? You could only go up or down or left or right?
Yeah, but you could choose split-screen multiplayer where it was four lines.
Oh, my God.
They changed color occasionally if you get shot. Anyway. But truly, it can't be 1D because the pixels themselves have width. Anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I should find that. I should upload that. It was made in Turbo Pascal.
Oh, that. All right. So I mean, since then, you go back 15 years and you got like the original Halo, right? Which is probably about the time you parted company with Shooter, I'm guessing, because of the whole bro gamer thing.
I'd parted company with them long before that. I mean, really? as I said, like, Perfect Dark didn't do it for me, and that was earlier than that, you know.
Okay.
I mean, a Turok, a Dinosaur Hunter.
Turok, for sure, N64.
I rented it and found it appalling.
Really?
Yeah. But the thing is, it might be a good game. Is it a good game?
I think so.
How has history revered this?
I don't know. I mean, there's been other Turok games, but I don't know if they're worth playing.
Okay, well... But I remember at the time I just went, ugh, I should have got Chameleon Twist.
What?
But by the time Halo came out, I had no interest in shooters at all by that point. Although I do have a copy of Halo now, and I played it a little bit of the co-op mode with a friend of mine on the original Xbox back in maybe 2004, 2005, before the 360 launched.
Okay.
I had bought an Xbox in Japan for $50 because nobody cares about the Xbox here.
Wah, wah.
And I got Halo for like $3. And I was playing it, and the visuals looked very nice, and it looked like it had a story going on for it. But the gameplay, again, I couldn't wrap my head around it.
Huh.
Tell me what I'm doing wrong.
With shooters?
With life.
I don't know. Listen, I don't play them for the story.
Okay.
Like, what a good crossover might be, you played Conker's Bad Fur Day, right?
Yeah, I played that.
So there was a multiplayer mode that was the shooter aspect of that. So for those who haven't played Conker's Bad Fur Day, it riffs on all kinds of genres. It starts off as like a you know, Mario 64-esque type game, but it quickly starts making fun of different kinds of film, as well as different game genres. So I think the original Conker 64 they were going to make was going to be like a 3D platformer type game, but they changed their minds and made this insane exploration into gaming nostalgia instead. And
it was originally supposed to be a G-rated game, like the first Conker game.
Yeah, like there's that Game Boy Advance one, or the Game Boy Color one. I mean,
Conker's Pocket Tales or something.
Yes. So instead we have this, and there's like a racing section. There's like a war simulator, so it's like a first person shooter thing, and that's the part that you can play as multiplayer. Although maybe you can do the racing too. I don't remember, but like I remember playing the shooter part.
I know there's some tank game.
Yeah. So.
Ooh, what about Star Fox 64?
Fox 64 is absolutely a shooter.
No, but I mean, like, that part, the multiplayer.
I don't remember.
You could be like a
walker.
Oh,
yeah, you could do the tank or the R-Wing, or you could be on foot, which was ridiculous. I played that a lot, too.
I was so terrible at that, but I remember enjoying it. I remember enjoying that.
Right, so, you know, that's absolutely part of the genre. So it's just, maybe it's just the kinds of games you don't like. I don't know.
Maybe. It might be the aesthetic, partially. It might just be because I don't get good, you know? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what it is exactly. So, okay. I am willing to open my mind here. Where should I start?
I mean, the thing that's closest to all of these, I know you have a 360. Yes. So I would say try playing Halo.
The first one.
No. I mean, Anniversary is out. I would play a Halo game that has a multiplayer community still.
Halo Anniversary is for 360, not Xbox One? Master Chief. Too many releases.
Like the 10-year anniversary of Halo 2.
Okay.
I would play multiplayer for a Halo game. I'm sure you can pick one up for pretty cheap. I mean, you know, you need an American version probably. Well, maybe it doesn't matter. I'm not sure.
It depends. A lot of the first party titles are region free.
Okay.
Did you hear that, Nintendo? First party titles are region free Xbox.
Well, you know, at least for Microsoft, it didn't much matter because no one in Japan was playing them.
Yeah, you know what? I'd like to clear up something right now.
Okay.
The Xbox 360 did not. I mean, it did. It was not. It didn't set the world on fire. But the Xbox 360 sold 1.5 million copies in the end, meaning that it sold a lot more than a lot of Japanese produced consoles. I mean, not really. I mean, like, it sold more than the 3DO here. Mm-hmm. It sold more than the PCFX, which was made by NEC. You know, it sold more than the Playdia, which was admittedly garbage, but you know, it sold more than the Neo Geo Pocket. It sold more than the Wonder Swan. It sold more than tons of things. You know, I think it compared to how the runaway success of the Wii and the Xbox and the PlayStation 3, it didn't do so well. But like, if you treat it as kind of a niche product, you know. Sure. Then it did not do so bad. Now the Xbox One, that's a laughing stock. It has just recently crossed over 50,000 units sold. Lifetime. In other words, Splatoon in 2 days in Japan sold more than twice the amount. No, three times the amount of Xbox One sold total.
That's terrible.
More people have the game Splatoon than have the Xbox One.
In Japan.
But But that's just because Microsoft considered Japan as an afterthought this time. The first Xbox did a million copies, which is, again,
terrible.
Sorry, half a million copies.
That's even worse.
Which again, but the thing is, Japan is very attached to the number one platform, and number two gets something, but number three, you know, is nothing but the scraps. Like even systems like the original Xbox probably outsold the Mark III, for example.
Really?
Yeah, really. And you know, because that was one of the things that was taking Nintendo scraps, you know. I think people are comparing this wrong, but one of the reasons the Xbox didn't do well, and I wrote a long paper about this back when I was doing 4CR stuff, was that it just didn't have the games that appealed to the Japanese consumer. It was all shooters and stuff like that. The few games that they did have sold well, the Dead or Alive series, Panzer Dragoon, Orta, you know, and those games still command a good price in Japan. They're still considered, good titles. And the Xbox 360, they got those exclusive JRPGs, Blue Dragon, Lost Odyssey, things like that. Japanese consumers responded to it by buying the system. But the problem was that the games didn't continue coming. And so people would just sell back their Xbox 360 once they beat the games they wanted to play. Because in Japan, you can still get a good price for it. And then what happened is when a new game like that came out, well, people just bought the used systems. So there wasn't a lot of incentive to buy new Xbox 360s because, as I said, I bought mine for $50, both my Xbox and my Xbox 360, because the used price is so low. If I wanted to play a game for it, there's no reason to buy new.
Sure.
Now, the Xbox One is doing so bad because Japan went, well, we tried the Japanese market twice. It didn't live up to our expectations of the market. And instead of building on what the Xbox 360 had done, which sold three times as much as its previous system, instead of building upon that, they just frankly gave up.
I kind of don't blame them. Half a million, you say? Ugh.
Yeah, for the original Xbox, but Xbox 360 sold 1.5 million.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I misunderstood. That's still not great, but...
It's not great, but like, it's sold more than right now than the Xbox, than the PlayStation 4 has sold to date.
Wait, really? No.
Yes, the PlayStation 4 is still catching up to Japanese Xbox 360.
How what's it at right now?
Very close. It actually... To tell you the truth, it might have crossed over a few months ago. But like, it took a while to get there.
That's...
Because the video game market's not as big as it used to be, you know?
In Japan, yeah.
But maybe. Like, yes, PlayStation 4 got there in, you know, a year and change. And it took the Xbox 360... But really, the Xbox 360 hasn't really been selling at all in the last 3 years anyway. So it did most of those sales in the first five.
I don't even know what to say.
What I'm saying is the misconception that Xbox is this terrible pariah here really only became true this generation.
That's not a misconception. 1.5 million is still nothing.
I guess.
Compared to, like, I don't know, 20 million? 100 million? That's nothing.
I guess. But the thing is, it was growing, and the mind share was going up. People were regarding it as a worthwhile gaming device.
Not enough, it sounds like. Ugh.
Well, not enough.
I mean, you know, the 360 aside, though, like, why don't Japanese consumers seem to enjoy shooters in general?
The common response I've gotten is it makes people nauseous.
What?
It's not just shooters. 3D Marios sell pretty badly here.
Really?
Yeah, 3D games in general. Games that are in 3D do not sell as well here. But it's changing. It's changing. Western games are doing well. Grand Theft Auto 5 sold 500,000.
Okay.
The Witcher was number one last week. Witcher 3.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, games like that are starting to do a lot better. The younger generation's liking them, but like when you have a Mario, like Super Mario Galaxy, fantastic game, but totally outsold like 10 to 1, 15 to 1, maybe more than that by New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Huh. Wow. No wonder they're making those, yeah. And I despise them.
Whereas in America, it's maybe, I mean, I still think the 2D ones sold better, but not like crazy better, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, that's why Mario 3D World, was a departure from the others. It had a fixed camera, and I think part of that was to avoid the problems that the Japanese consumer saw with 3D games.
Interesting. So yeah, because the whipping around you got to do in first person shooters, especially, is probably disorienting.
Yeah, my wife will not play 3D games. She says they make her feel nauseous, and I've heard this from a lot of Japanese gamers. I don't know if it's just not being used to that type of game, or
do they just not have tilt-a-whirls in Japan? I mean, come on.
I've never seen a tilt-a-whirl in Japan.
See, there you go. You got it from a young age. You are like those tire swings. You just gotta get used to that equilibrium shift from a young age, man.
Maybe that's it. I have no idea if that's actually it.
My kids love spinning in swivel chairs. Just yeah. spin.
Yep.
It's not too late for Sara. Get her started now so she can be a first person shooter gamer.
I don't want her to be a first person shooter gamer.
She can correct the mistakes of your gaming past.
But the thing is, Western games in general are doing a lot better now. Minecraft is very, very popular. Things like that. Maybe it's because Japan's not making any games anymore for themselves.
God.
Well, they are. They're making tons of games. In fact, Japan gaming revenue is higher than it's ever been before. It's record breaking.
They're not making games. They're not having babies. What is going on in Japan?
I blame smartphones for every one of Japan's problems.
I mean, I would blame the gaming, but they're not doing that either.
Of course they're gaming. They're gaming tons, more so than ever. It's just not the type of game we like.
Oh my gosh.
It's free-to-play garbage. Not that it's all garbage, just that almost all of it's garbage.
Next time at Famicom Dojo, Vink loves free-to-play. Learns to love it. Learns to like it.
I've gone through a lot of changes recently in regards to online games and things like that, but if I really, really start liking free-to-play, there is the possibility that Vink is actually being held captive by someone, and my saying that I really, really like it, okay, the keyword will be aardvark. If I use aardvark in a previous podcast, call the police. Because I'm podcasting against my will.
Oh, God.
Okay. So you need to play Splatoon.
Okay.
Because
how much is it?
It's $60. $60. But it's totally worth it. And actually, a lot of people are waiting right now. They're waiting because not all the stages are up yet and things like that. But actually, it's really kind of exciting because this week there's been 3 updates.
Wow.
And one of them is a gun that looks like the NES Zapper.
All right. Yes. Yeah, but, I heard that there's the NZAP 85 and yes. 89.
Yes.
And
yes.
They are the gray and orange.
The gray and the orange.
Respectively.
But what's really cool is like you go into the game and the first thing that happens is there's this pseudo news broadcast being hosted by these two squid idols or whatever, and they basically tell you what's new that day.
Oh.
So like there's this incentive and the stuff in the shops is constantly changing too. So there's a reason to be going on. Now the stuff in the shops is random, so it doesn't really matter. You're not going to miss it. It'll come around again. But a lot of this new content, you can experience it when everyone else is experiencing it for the first time. There's really this, and the whole Plaza thing, everyone's leaving Miiverse comments and stuff. I don't know. It feels like there's really a community going on around this game. And when a new stage comes out, you know, people are really excited to be playing it. So this like slow release of content, whereas the thing is, when the new stage came out, I don't think there was a downloaded update. I don't know. Nintendo does them pretty stealthily, but I don't think there was an update. I think it was a time-based unlock.
Huh.
Like, I think the content was on the disc already. I'm not sure what Nintendo's doing with that, but it makes it worth it to start off early, because if you wait till August when all this content is out, by that point, everyone else is going to be really good at it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Well,
I really think you should play it just so you can tell me how it's different from a regular shooter, or if it's the same, that I've been making a terrible mistake all these years.
Well, I can probably answer that for you already.
For me, it seems like Splatoon is different enough that it both in mechanics and presentation, that it makes me want to play the game despite the fact that it's a shooter.
Wow. Well, apart from, you know, not being multiplayer, like a lot of what I've heard about Splatoon reminds me of Portal 2.
I would say that you have to
the whole inking thing.
Because if it was a regular shooter, what's going on is that as you enter a room, you should lay down a spray of bullets, then climb into your bullets so you can pop out and shoot other bullets in order to cover your ground with more bullets than the other people. I mean, that's basically what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty unique approach, I think.
I just like what you can do is you can spray a wall somewhere, climb to the wall, which hides you in the ink, and then just wait for an enemy to come by and pop out at him.
Nice. So you say it evens the playing field for someone who's so weak sauce such as yourself?
You know, I don't know though, because I don't see why I wouldn't still be weak sauce at it, except that maybe it's a little more tactical.
Okay.
I don't know though, because I don't play shooters enough to know how tactical they are. But it's neat that there's so many different ways to approach something, and the different weapon styles are very, very different. A roller covers lots of ground, but it leaves you pretty vulnerable to snipers. You know, I can't do the fast enough reaction time to be a sniper myself, so I play that one, but I also do regular, you know, gun shooting guy too, and I'm actually not bad at the game, and I don't know why. Maybe they're just ranking me with other weak sauce players. In which case, the thing that put Splatoon over this is the ranking system, or the matchmaking system, because either way, I don't feel so destroyed that I want to give up.
Okay. Man, the way this sounds, it seems like you're probably on your way to being the shooter fan. I'm telling you.
One day I think I put 4 straight hours into it, which I don't do for most games at all anyway.
Wow.
Another thing is my kids can watch this game and I don't feel like they're being exposed to tremendous amounts of violence. I mean, I guess it's violent, but nobody gets hurt, if that makes sense. Like, you are shooting guns, but it, you know, it's no more violent than a paintball match, you know. Mm-hmm. It's very clear that no character is dying or suffering, if that
right.
makes sense.
Right, that does make it a bit different. I mean, you know, the ephemeral nature of existence kind of comes into mind when I play Halo a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you can't respawn in real life.
Well, exactly. But it makes sense here, because when you get hit with enough ink, you turn into a blob of ink, which respawns at this inkwell. You know, it within the context of the universe, it makes sense. And so I don't feel bad about my kids seeing it, because they're not going to replicate being a squid
sure.
in real life. they might be more interested in squirt guns, but I think I can explain that one, you know?
Sure.
But because I can play it when my kids are awake, and they enjoy watching it being played, another one of my friends came over and he's like, I just want to watch you play it because it's so interesting to watch. And I'm like, huh, maybe it is, you know, that I can play it for a long time and I'm not neglecting my children to do so. I mean, that has a big impact. And the customization, just the music, the way the world's set up is, I just want to be there.
Sure.
You should play this game.
All right. The other games I should probably be playing too. So should I go into my pile of shame?
Yes, and I'll tell you why Splatoon is more important than the games you are mentioning.
We'll see.
Okay.
So, speaking of shooters, I feel pretty bad. I have not played the story mode of Halo Reach.
Well, I can tell you. Bald Space Marine goes to planet.
Listen, some of these Bald Space Marines are women, though.
What?
Oh, yeah.
You like playing as bald women?
Good night, everybody.
Come on. The sentence you said is, some of these bald Space Marines are women.
It's the truth.
Are they bald?
Some of them.
Is this like G.I. Jane the game? Because I'd play that.
Good Lord. All right. Let me educate you a little bit into the Spartan universe here, or of Halo, I should say. Distant future, humanity reaches towards the stars, and we find that there's these things in space called halos, which are artificial habitats that rotate, right? You know, and then
that's the thing on the title screen, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's about as far as I got. So.
So.
Good music.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess it's the plot of the first game, and then there are I guess halos still exist. Beyond that, there's a whole race called the Forerunners, which sounds eerily like what Mass Effect used for the Protheans in their storyline.
See, all shooters are the same,
right? You know, Space Marines.
Okay, I mean,
your female or male Shepherd can be bald if you really want her to be that way.
All right.
But I mostly played this game for the multiplayer. So when I got my Xbox 360, I got Halo 2 just so I could play online, which you can't do anymore because Halo 1 games are no longer online. But I never really played these games for the story until I played ODST.
Okay. Is that the one that comes after 3?
Yes, it's the first one to come after 3, although chronologically it takes place sometime during 2.
But it's not considered 4.
No.
It's a side story? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So, you know, the main crux of the series is you play as a Master Chief. And it follows, because he's like the last Spartan 5, I want to say. Oh, God, the Halo fans are going to murder me.
Okay.
Maybe he's like the only successful one, or just the last one that's left. And so he's kind of like a superhero, more or less. Unkillable. So you can play in like ODST, and it's like regular like human Marines that you're playing as, and they're mostly voiced by the Firefly and some Battlestar Galactica cast, including like Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk. Trisha Helfer, et cetera, et cetera. Pretty awesome story. And the multiplayer was Halo 3's multiplayer, which is why it was called Halo 3 ODST.
Okay.
But it added like a firefight mode. So that was like the only real contribution it made. So then Reach was the next game. It was also the last one that Bungie made out of their agreement with Microsoft. So they made 5 games, but only 3 of them were numbered Halo games.
Wait, what about Halo Wars? Did Bungie make that, or is that another company?
Oh, I don't know.
That was the turn-based strategy game, right?
Was it turn-based? I don't know if it was turn-based.
Or a real-time strategy game?
I think
game?
It was real-time. I think Marathon was a real-time strategy game, which is like the precursor.
No. Marathon was a shooter.
Was it? Okay, I don't know. But I think they want but, they wanted to make.
You might be thinking of Myth. Myth was RTS.
I thought that the Halo started life as a real-time strategy game, so it was interesting that they finally made one. But I got into the idea of Reach because it was a prequel.
Okay.
To the first Halo game, which basically told the story of, like, you know, why Master Chief's the last Spartan. And so there was like a whole series of other Spartan soldiers, and the process for making them is kind of gruesome, I guess, because you have to like take them from a young age and basically cybernetically enhance them and train them, and oh, terrible. But it's like the Pearl Harbor of the Halo universe, essentially. So there's no happy ending here.
Okay.
But story wise, that was to come. There was a beta that I was able to get into. And I played the multiplayer of the beta a lot. Like, I maxed out the leveling system that they have where you can, you know, go through the ranks like an actual military rank.
Yeah.
And I got as high as I could go. There were some Halo 2 maps that you could play, since Halo 2 was discontinued by that point. The multiplayer was, and it was very interesting to go from that and then get the full game, which is a foregone conclusion for me. And then playing the story, because, like, you know, based on the strength of what ODST was, it's like, yeah, heck yeah, I'm going to play the story and not just the multiplayer. And I never got past maybe like a second or a third level. I know Zach Shipley offered to play with me once, and I think we got through all of one level before he was called away because of kids or something like that. I never played after that, not even multiplayer, I don't think. So if you do get Halo Anniversary, the multiplayer mode is based off of Reach's multiplayer mode, where what do? They sped things up a little bit and took away the armor abilities. So it's more like the first game, but the first game didn't have multiplayer. So it's like what multiplayer would have been like if the first Halo had multiplayer.
Okay.
But I think you can just download those and play them. I don't remember anymore. It's been so long. But if you want to even get pile of shamier than that, I bought Halo Anniversary not really to play the game, but more just to get the quote unquote free maps that came with it. Shameful.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I think those were still playable in Reach because it was the same multiplayer.
So why do you think it is that Japanese companies have not tried to make first-person shooters?
I was asking you that question. I have no idea. I mean,
Konami tried.
What did Konami try?
They did the Coded Arms series. Kind of a futuristic shooter. But I think I might have mentioned this one time. One of my first Tokyo Game Shows, the PlayStation 3 had just been unveiled, and they had a game called Coded Arms Assault, which would be a sequel to the PSP games, and it was so terrible.
Oh, no.
Like, it might not have been a terrible game, but it was so glitchy and weird, and I guess two of their PlayStations melted down at the time or something. Because I guess the hardware wasn't totally finalized yet. I don't know what was going on, but like, they've tried, but I guess they just weren't all that good. But I don't know. I think it's time for them to try again, because, like, okay, Splatoon was the number one game in Japan this week.
Really?
It beat out everything else. 3-1. And it caused Wii U to be the number one video game console for the first time ever.
That's not the first time ever, is it?
First time ever.
I swear we've said on this show it's been the number one.
It's been the number one home console before, but it beat out the 3DS.
Oh.
And that's the first time it's the first. Maybe it's launch week it did better, although that was I'm not sure. It might, but it's the first time in a very long time. So who knows? Oh my gosh. The Japanese shooter revolution might be led by Nintendo.
I would never have guessed.
Who had never made a shooter before?
I would never have guessed.
No. Weird. Oh, I have a follow-up from our last podcast.
Oh, sure.
Or, I don't know what order these are coming in.
A previous podcast.
Or a future podcast. Paradox.
Oh, no.
We talked about the text adventure system. Did we decide it was Eamon? Or
Eamon? Yeah.
Eamon? Eamon? There is a contemporary version of the software called Eamon Deluxe, and it will run on modern operating systems, Mac OS, Windows, Linux. So if anybody's interested, just do a Google search for it. I think the version right now is 5.0, and you can play some of those games. Sorry, just a little follow-up.
Awesome.
Okay.
Well, so I don't know if I convince you to play Halo or other shooters in general, but I love the story for ODST so much. I think you owe it to yourself to at least buy that game.
It does sound very interesting. I think if anything, I'm going to try Metroid Prime first. Is it as hard as people say it is? Is it very
Prime?
Hard?
Some of the jumping can get a little weird. It does auto look down when you jump so that you can kind of see where you're going to land. But until you get used to it, it might be a little bit difficult. Mm. I'd play Metroid Prime first.
The thing is, one thing about Splatoon is it's a third-person shooter. You know what I mean? It's not first. Maybe I still don't like first-person shooters. I don't know. I'm willing to try it, but can you recommend a third-person shooter as well?
Mass Effect.
So we've decided it's a shooter now.
It is a shooter. I mean, there's parts of it like, you know, you go to different planets, you're on your spaceship, and you're just talking to people. You don't shoot them.
Okay.
And those are the parts of the game that I like. I don't know if it's the second game I'm thinking of. There's a way to play it where the action isn't quite as long and is much, much easier.
Okay.
And so you can just focus on the story portion.
RPG
of it. You don't...
mode, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
That's what it was called in the third game, at least.
Okay. So if you don't care about the shooting part of it, you can turn that, you can just ramp that way down. If you don't
care
about
the achievements. This is not a good way to convince me to like shooters.
Well... maybe. I mean,
well, maybe it is. Actually.
If you feel strong and powerful, then maybe you want to ramp it up a little bit.
True.
If you feel overpowered, how about that?
Okay.
I mean, if you don't care about the inventory management in that game, you said you have no interest in playing the first or second ones now, but hearing how it ended isn't the same thing as experiencing it firsthand. And there are just some awesome characters, stunning, stunning visuals that. Mm, so good. Try and find a copy of the first game. I'm really hoping that it is in fact region free, and
it probably is. All right, tell you what, I will buy the first Mass Effect.
Yes.
For my Xbox 360, because then if I like it, I can go up the chain, I guess.
Yep.
I will buy it.
Or just buy Trilogy, right? You can just buy Trilogy. That's probably fine.
I don't know if I want to commit to that.
I'm sure Trilogy's cheap, though.
Probably. I bet the first game by itself is cheaper.
Yeah, but there's a question as to whether or not it's compatible or not.
That's true. That's true. All right. I'll give it another go. It does look like a compelling universe. It really does.
So compelling.
And the thing is, if it was an adventure game, I think I'd be all over it, if that makes any sense.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, if it was... Because it's clear the production values are incredibly high. It's obvious a lot of love went into the game. I like the whole idea of dialogue trees. I very much enjoy that. It's just that all of a sudden it's like, okay, now shoot stuff. And I'm like,
Shoot like robots, though.
It's like I really liked the Wing Commander games, except for all that flying.
That's a valid way to feel about Mass Effect, because, you know, the way I've been talking about it, if you're surprised that you shot anything, I'm sorry. That's just...
But okay, that sounds good. But it okay, I will do that. I will play the first Mass Effect. You have to play Splatoon.
Oh God, deal. It's worth it.
All right. Does Mass Effect have a multiplayer mode, the first one?
No.
Oh, really? Nothing at all?
No, it wasn't until the third game that they introduced one.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay, I was going to say we can play Splatoon online and then some Mass Effect online.
Well, I mean, you and I both have the Wii U version of Mass Effect 3. We could probably hop on there. Assuming there's anyone playing it still.
How many do you need to have a match going?
Well, you need 4 people, I believe.
You need 4 people? Okay, we're going to need 2 listeners. Show of hands.
On Wii
U. Who has
U.
Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U? Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U.
Oh, God. No chance this is ever going to happen.
No. Because, I mean, you and I alone have probably bought 2/3 of the copies in existence. So.
Yep.
Ooh, Watch Dogs is cheap right now. Really cheap. Like $15 cheap at Best Buy. Did you play it? Is it worth getting?
No, I have no idea.
Is it a first-person shooter?
Probably. I mean, it's. I don't know.
Because I don't know. People went nuts about that game. I know that, like, in retrospect, people are like, it was all based on hype. But I don't know. The idea of futuristic Chicago with hacking and stuff sounds cool to me. I shouldn't play that. I've got Deus Ex Human Revolution. I should play that. I should unwrap that.
Yeah, dude.
I have a problem, Sean.
You do.
I actively collect games that I have no interest in playing.
Just start. Take these things off your pile of shame.
All right. Okay, and you add Splatoon to yours. I know. Games you're playing, not Chrono
Trigger. Yeah, something like that.
I guess that's all I got to say for today.
Cool. All right. Well, then I guess until next time, the dojo is...
A kid now or a squid now?
Nice.
Famicom Dojo.
The Famicom Dojo video game podcast is produced every week by That's Orange LLC. Our music, Famicom Thrash and RPG, is performed by the Amari Tones. Find them on iTunes and amaritones.net. Pixel art by Lewis Lloyd Judson at lewistrations.co.uk. You can find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter at Famicom Dojo, our free iTunes storefront, Stitcher Radio, or wherever RSS feeds are downloaded. Visit our show notes, including links, video, and audio bonuses at famicomdojo.tv/podcast. Please consider leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. And sponsor an episode or listen to any of the other great shows on the Little Podcast Network at littlepodcast.com.